We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the sixth day of November 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, Democrats, with the exception of committee member Senator Max Baucus, have cleared the way for the climate change bill to reshape the U.S. economy. Republicans, by the way, refused to even show up for the vote. The WTO's dispute settlement process is undergoing review. And the Labor Department has issued the highest unemployment rate in more than a decade. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories shortly. And then I'll bring you up to speed on the impact of mycotoxins in corn. And it all happens right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
In Chicago, on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this in the nearby wheat pit. The contract finished a settlement price at 5.01 in the December, down 16.5 cents. That actually in Kansas City, December in Chicago, down 15 cents at 4.97. And a quarter, December corn futures today, 3.67, 9.5 lower. The March at 3.81, down 9.25. And the May futures, 9 cents lower, at $3.91. July at 3.99.5, down 9. September corn at 4.07.75, down 7.75. Soy complex now. November beans, $9.48. Settlement price, 19 cents a bushel lower. January futures down 17 at 9.55. The March at 9.60.25, down 16.5. And the May contract at 9.61.25, down 14.75. July beans at 9.64.75, 15. And 1/4 lower. December bean meal today, 250 lower at 288.80. January at 281.80, down 350. December bean oil at 36.77, down 41. January at 37.20, down 42. December live cattle futures, $85 even, $1.35 lower. February is at 86.27.5, finished down 95 cents. And November feeder cattle at $94.65. down 95 cents. January futures, 96.07.5, $1.10 lower. December lean hog futures at $55.70 a hundredweight, down 90 cents. And the Febs at 62.85, down 62.5 cents. You are listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. December crude oil futures settlement price for the day and the week at $77.43. On the day, that's $2.19 lower a barrel. December ethanol at $1.85.2, down a penny and a half. Natural gas at $4.60.7, 17.5 cents lower. The RBOB at $1.92.1, 6.5 cents lower. And diesel fuel or heating oil at $2.03, down 5.3 cents. Gold futures at $1,095.10 an ounce, $6.40 lower on the afternoon, rather higher on the afternoon. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average for the day at 10,007, just about 1 point higher. The U.S. dollar at 75.81, down 0.07, rather up 0.07. And the CRB index at 269.44. down 4.86 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own meteorologist Ed Kieser with a bit of an update from Mike Sola. They say tonight, partly cloudy skies. Lows will range from 42 in eastern Indiana to around 50 in western Illinois. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny skies. Highs will range from 60 in northeastern Indiana to 72 in the southwestern parts of Illinois. The extended forecast says mild and dry weather expected on Sunday, promoting a continuation of aggressive harvesting. High temps will range tomorrow from the lows in the 60s in northeastern Indiana to the mid-70s in the southwestern parts of Illinois. A cold front will approach Monday. That'll trigger off some showers in northern Illinois Monday afternoon. And then in other areas to the south and east on Monday night and Tuesday, rainfall in northern Illinois could reach 1 to 2 tenths, that's tenths of an inch, with most other locations in Illinois and Indiana receiving 0 to 1 tenth of an inch.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's Friday afternoon, and we always talk with the folks in Lafayette, Indiana. Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting is on the phone line this afternoon. Hi, Mike.
Hello there, Todd.
Hey, farmers are rolling through the fields, I suppose. Most in Chicago think they were in beans because, well, corn gets stopped at the elevator fairly early in the morning. And if you look at the weekly charts, it showed that beans were off pretty substantially and put in some outside down weeks. Pretty technically kind of ugly, wasn't it?
Very rough week for the beans, yeah, 30 cents lower in the November. And I think that harvest pressure you're talking about probably showed up in the pits much, much greater for beans than they did the corn because of the fact that we were getting more beans cut, Todd. It sounded like throughout the week when I talked to the floor, they were seeing a lot more commercial hedge pressure. And I think the other thing that came in maybe earlier in the week that started to turn the tide other than the outside markets was that CONAB came out with a new update for their Brazilian bean crop, and they put it up towards the record side of the equation around 63.6 million tons. And I noticed that matched up pretty nicely with the earlier update from IBGE at 63.7 million tons. So I think that was an issue middle of the week that probably turned the tide as well. I was surprised, though, that the new crop November or the July 2010 didn't go down faster than the November or the January, but there again, maybe it was because of the harvest.
Now, most of our analysts have been saying that because there isn't any carry or very much carry, and there's some in it now, but not much carry in the marketplace, that it was okay to go ahead and sell soybeans across the scale. Farmers are faced with that decision each day that we harvest in this, I hate to say it, but month of November now. Is that still what you're suggesting?
Well, I was in a little bit different camp, you know, last month after the October report. I was talking more about picking battles and trying to get towards the upper levels of the $9.95 to $10 level. I still kind of feel that way. I feel like selling right here before Tuesday's report is more or less a throw-in-the-towel type sale. When I looked at the pre-estimates on the Dow Jones survey, it strikes me that there's about 13 out of the 24 analysts out there came in below a 13 billion bushel corn crop, but only 4 out of the 24 came in at a 3.2 billion bushel bean crop or lower. And so after I saw this week's price action, saw these estimates, and here again, I think these estimates were something that helped turn the tide along with the Brazilian increase in estimates. I get the direct feeling that the trade thinks that the yields are going to be bigger in the November report, and if anything, I'm hearing the exact opposite by producers I work with, and I still think there's a lot of house cleaning that needs to be done by USDA when it comes to the Delta crop and the type of weather they had after the October report was out. So I would be in the camp if I were working with somebody to say, hold your beans until we see Tuesday's numbers.
Well, what are your numbers so we can give you some numbers? So the USDA estimate was a 42.4 on yield for soybeans. Average trade guess that I've got, and there are a couple of different ones out there, but the one we've got on hand is a 42.65 bushel crop to the acre with a 3.262 billion bushel soybean crop. Where do you stand?
I came in 2% less than October's USDA figure of 41.9, and that actually, 41.6, and that's about 3/10 less than my estimate last month of 41.9. So I'm just underneath a 200 million bushel carryover right now, Todd.
And on soybeans, just so we can go through those numbers, USDA at 13.018 billion in October. The average trade guess this time around at a 12.9 with a range of 12.6 to 13.064. Where do you stand there?
I came in on a corn of 162.3 on the yield, and that put my carryover just a little bit higher than last month, actually at 1.486. So, again, I think that when you look at the production number and the carryover number, it seems like I'm more in line with the rest of the trade. But me personally, after talking to clients all the last 2 weeks, when we've really started to get a little bit more harvesting done, I'm more nervous about being wrong on the corn and actually being too low on the corn and being pretty close, pretty fair to close on the beans, because I can't tell you, I haven't kept count exactly, but I would guess 85 to 90% of the people I've spoken with that are physically cutting beans and shelling corn have told me they're having a very hard time meeting their five-year averages on the beans, and I see Newswire stories saying the exact opposite in the exact same places that I'm talking to clients about. So I think Tuesday's number in beans is going to be a lot more representative, because we're going to have a lot more harvesting done. I think a lot of the analysts, me included, would say we'll give the corn a couple more months to shake out. I will look at that yield number in the upper Midwest, because when you and I had the commodity week a month ago with Persaki, we talked about how he was giving record yields in the Western Corn Belt for some of those states in the upper Midwest right before that big freeze. Kind of want to see what he does on Tuesday's numbers and see if he reevaluates that or not.
Right. So the number you've got for a carryout is fairly low for the corn at this point, but you're concerned that there might be a bigger crop out there. And corn actually held strong in the face of beans going down 30 cents this week. Corn was up a penny in the nearby December contract. Do you think there's room to go down here? What are your feelings? Are you just waiting and marking time until Tuesday?
Yeah, I think when it comes to the corn market, I think the trend is what I'm going to be watching in the corn. If I don't get yield reductions in the Western Corn Belt like I'm looking for, that will concern me that we're not going to have as much return to the higher price levels in corn as we finally get harvested going. I also would say to you that given the bean harvest progress, we should be nearly 75% done, I would think, by Monday's numbers. And so by the time you get Tuesday's report, I would think that most of the harvest pressure in beans would be over with. So if I'm going to get the corn to turn around, I need the Western Corn Belt numbers to come down, plus I need the beans to start supporting. Notice last week the beans and the meal started to support the corn market. We lost that connection this week because the outside markets and the heavy harvest pressure beans came in. So there's a couple things that I need to have happen here. It's really crazy, though, because when I look at the ending stocks average in corn, you said it, they're at 1.65. Well, October's USDA was 1.672 as far as carryover. So the trade's actually looking for lower carryover numbers in corn, and yet we don't have hardly anything harvested. And I don't know whether that's test weights or what that would be. So it's kind of an anomaly this time of year.
All right. And then finally, have you talked to enough producers to get a handle on whether days like today and what we've had earlier this week have done a pretty good job of starting dry down in corn? Or is it just holding moisture simply because it really never made it all the way to maturity?
Yeah, not really drying down. I think the maturity issue, and I think also the cold nights, a lot of producers have said we've been in the mid to upper 30s this week so far for the nights, and it really hasn't given the corn the chance to dry down. They're really looking forward to this next couple, 3 days to see if we can get in the mid-60s, bring our lows back up on the overnight, and also get a little bit more windy. They're really looking for a couple points of reduction in moisture from what I've talked to the guys in Ohio through Illinois.
Yeah, I make note that it is 63 degrees outside here, but it's still 44% humidity. So humidity is actually fairly high, and it won't do a lot of dry down, I would think, at that kind of humidity.
No, I couldn't agree more. And I'm no agronomist, but a lot of the guys that I've talked to have said if we're going to have humidity like that, we need a stiff wind. But there you want a stiff wind, but not a real bad one, so you don't have lodging. So
yeah, right.
Be careful what you wish for.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go?
That'll do it. Have a great weekend.
Hey, you too. Thanks much. That's Mike Zuzlo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting, and comes to us from Lafayette, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That one happens each and every Friday afternoon.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Well, you are listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. Don't forget Commodity Week posted to our website at about 6 o'clock this evening. The guest will be the folks at Landworth. Dave Dickey's here now. He'll take us through the agricultural news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, a U.S. Senate panel yesterday cleared a climate bill that would reshape the U.S. economy in a rare vote in which Republicans refused to show up. By a 10-to-1 vote, the U.S. Senate Environment and Public Works Committee approved the measure. The only Democrat to vote no was Senator Max Baucus. Democrats acted without the participation of Republicans, who boycotted the vote to protest a lack of a complete economic analysis. Under the bill, companies would have to hold government-issued permits for each ton of carbon dioxide emitted into the atmosphere. The World Trade Organization today says that developing countries have launched nearly half of the disputes at the WTO in its 15-year history. The dispute system, which some members say is slow to produce and enforce rulings, is under review by the WTO's 153 members. More than half of the 400 disputes were settled without formal litigation before a WTO panel. A total of 186 went to litigation, and 12 are currently the subject of consultations. So far this year, there have been 12 disputes at the WTO, down from 19 in all of 2008 and 13 in 2007. The Labor Department today says that the U.S. unemployment rate jumped to 10.2% in October, breaching the double-digit barrier for the first time in 26 and a half years. Employers cut 190,000 jobs last month. Payrolls have declined for 22 consecutive months now, throwing 7.3 million people out of work since December of 2007. CONAB yesterday estimated Brazil's 2009-10 record-breaking soy crop at between 62.5 million metric tons and 63.6 million metric tons, 9.5% to 11.4% above the 2008-2009 crop of 57 million tons. The upper range of CONAB's estimate is in line with Brazilian Vegetable Oils Industry Association's estimate this week of 63.5 million metric tons. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week. We'll record that second program at 4:30 this afternoon, posted to our website by just about 6 o'clock this evening at WILLAG.org. Our guests this week for Commodity Week are the folks from Landworth. It all happens on Commodity Week, and you can listen to it online not long after we're done recording the program at WILLAG.org. Now up next, record October rainfall plus the cool weather has increased risk for mold development in corn, and telephone calls to the University of Illinois have increased with questions from producers on how to best deal with the risk. Moldy corn reduces bushel weight, corn quality, nutrient content, and increases the risk of mycotoxin formation. Now, mycotoxins are toxic substances produced by fungi or molds that grow on grain or feed in the field or in storage. Mycotoxins are associated with cool, wet conditions, says University of Illinois Extension dairy specialist
Mike Hutchins.
And, of course, we've got cool weather, and that really is favorable for some of our mycotoxins such as DON, Fusarium, T2, and Zearalenone. These are toxins that affect livestock. I work primarily in the dairy area. We have numbers. We have levels that says if the level in the feed gets above this point, it can have such things on performance, animal health, reproduction, rumen function, and immunity.
Aflatoxin is another toxin, but is associated with hot weather and drought stress conditions, so it's not been a problem this year. Signs of mycotoxin in dairy cattle include rumen disorders and reduced microbial digestion, loose fecal discharges, reduced dry matter intake, decline in fertility, hormonal-like changes such as udder development and fertility, and immune suppression where cattle do not respond to disease challenges. The problem with all these signs, says Hutchins, is that they are not unique.
In other words, if animal has some type of other disease, she could show some of these same symptoms, or if she had rumen acidosis, as far as that goes. So the situation is sitting there right. We're getting calls now that farmers are inspecting ears and they're seeing the mold coming in. If the mold is diploidy, which is we know it's here, the good news is all the research in the U.S. says no toxins. Now, if you're in Argentina, there has been some data suggesting there in South Africa, but our data shows no problems with diplodia.
Diplodia, so far, seems to be the most prevalent mold throughout the Midwest in the cornfields this season. Again, U.S. research shows it does not act as a toxin to livestock, but it does cause other problems. It reduces test weight, and consequently, each bushel of corn contains fewer nutrients, and performance falls off.
If you got diplodia, you got to be aware of it. Some of the loads are running as high as 10 or 12% damaged seeds. Some farmers are speeding up their combines to try to blow it out the back. That's the good news. The bad news, now it's in your field for next year if we have the wrong conditions. Other people are going to screen the corn or separate the corn and take out the fines and the broken particles because they're probably at high risk of having diplodia.
Livestock producers concerned mold risk could be a problem should have feed tested. Tests can be expensive, and sampling and feed variation can reduce the usefulness of the results. Corn stored at high moisture could increase the risk of mold growth, at least until the pH of the fermented corn drops. Adding grain inoculants to speed up fermentation and stabilize the wet corn is recommended. Drying corn below 15% moisture stops toxin development as well. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Friday afternoon. On the line with us to take up the cash grain market is Bruce Bostard. He's the general manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator's 10 locations. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Are you busy today?
We are always busy until we shut off wet corn each day, and then it slows up dramatically.
Yeah, so what time did you shut off?
Depends on the location, anywhere from 10 in the morning to 1 in the afternoon.
Well, that's not so bad, I suppose, for the guys that got to go to 1 o'clock in the afternoon. The wet corn drying down very much coming out of the field? I mean, has the moisture dropped this week very much?
Yes, we're seeing the inbound moisture slowly lower. The corresponding capacity increases in the dryers are happening. I'm sure that if you're sitting in line waiting to get off or waiting for the elevator to run more through, that's not a whole lot of consolation, but we are seeing the capacities increase. You know, you probably don't see it from the truck, but if I look at the numbers that we're dumping each day, it's going up a little bit every day, so that helps.
And how's basis holding up?
Had been doing real well. Notice the past tense today. It started seeing, it looked like a classic harvest break back. I don't know if it's just Friday afternoon or some increased pressure. The Gulf basis backed off. Some of the processor basis backed off about a nickel or so. So we were down a nickel on our bean basis. Corn, which had been hanging in so well, lost a couple cents.
And what are your bids for the day?
I'm a afraid I am out trying to track down a train that was supposed to be placed, and I don't have those in front of me.
How do you track a train down?
They're big. You can't miss them.
Okay. Well, thanks much, and good luck tracking her down.
Okay. Thank you. Right,
bye-bye. That's Bruce Bostard. He's with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Friday afternoon. In just 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast for the weekend and beyond when we talk with Steve Hilberg.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. A second soldier from Illinois has been identified as a victim of the shooting rampage at Fort Hood, Texas. Relatives say 21-year-old Francesca Velez of Chicago is among the 13 people killed when an Army psychiatrist allegedly opened fire. Her father, Juan Guillermo Velez, says she only recently returned from deployment in Iraq. She was preparing to come home because she was pregnant. He likens her death on U.S. soil after serving her country to a slap in the face. He clutched pictures of his daughter as he spoke on a family porch. Earlier, relatives of a 21-year-old Bolingbrook man confirmed he'd also died in the attack. The parents of Michael Pearson tell the Chicago Tribune they learned yesterday that their son had been killed. Illinois Army National Guard, meanwhile, says none of its members were at Fort Hood when a gunman shot dozens of people. National Guard Major Brad Layton says it isn't uncommon for Illinois Guard troops to train at bases like Fort Hood, but he says none are there now. Ameren is wrapping up its plans to lay off 300 people by the end of the year. About 50 people in the utility's Illinois and Missouri service areas are receiving layoff notices. Another 150 were laid off from Ameren's generating division over the summer, while 100 agreed to voluntary retirement. A company spokeswoman says while the utility is seeking rate hikes, it's also seeking out places to trim, like reductions in capital expenditures and operating expenses, in order to make those rates reasonable. Susan Gallagher says demand for energy has gone down in the region, and market prices for the utilities generated electricity have dropped while expenses have gone up. Parkland College is beginning the first new construction of its three-phase master plan. Groundbreaking was held this morning for a 14,000-square-foot diesel technology addition to the college's Tony Noe Agriculture Center. The five-year plan also includes construction on an applied technology center and student services building. But Parkland President Tom Ravage notes one of the funding mechanisms, Illinois' capital bill, has yet to secure a funding source. Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels has announced a series of spending cuts and other steps designed to offset a continuing multimillion-dollar decline in state revenues. Daniels said Friday that tax collections for October were $46 million below forecast. He's ordered state agencies to cut spending by 10%. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Friday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural weather forecast. On the line with us today, Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey. It, of course, belongs to NOAA. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Beautiful weather this afternoon.
And, boy, we certainly deserve it, don't we?
We do. I did make note that humidity levels, while it doesn't feel like it's very humid out there, they're still up around 44%. I don't know what that really means other than it's higher than what corn is, and that probably means it's not going to dry down as fast.
Well, actually, it's probably dew points are in the 30s right now here, in at least out at Willard Airport right now. And generally across Illinois, they're in the mid-30s in eastern Illinois to mid-40s in the west. So it is getting a little bit more moisture into the western parts of the state. But that's a deceptive thing about relative humidity is it's not always indicative of how really dry the air is. It's more an indicator of what the capacity of the air is to hold moisture. But it's been a dry week. We've had dew points in the 20s and 30s up till today, which has been very good. Today is the first day we've really had much of any kind of breeze, so we're getting some pretty good ventilation. So, in general, I would say drying conditions are pretty decent out there. You are rarely going to get, even when we dry down, you don't get relative humidities during the day in the summer or the fall, much less than about 40%. Getting anything down around where you want to dry corn to 15 or 20% just doesn't happen. So there's a lot of other factors at work there. But we'll see dew points coming up over the weekend as a tongue of moisture moves across. But it's still going to be really nice, and it'll be warmer, too.
So tell me about that weekend weather forecast.
Well, we've got a pretty good southwesterly flow setting up over the Midwest here over the weekend, and that should push temperatures well into the 60s tomorrow and Sunday, and even into Monday. And that, especially tomorrow with sunshine and pretty breezy conditions, should really help dry things out even further. And maybe a little less wind on Sunday, but still night warm. And dew point should be down in the 50s, which is still pretty good for this time of year. And then come around Monday, we might see a little bit more increase in moisture as some clouds roll in ahead of a front that's probably going to come through here on Tuesday. So the rest of next week, temperatures will be back down closer to normal, probably for highs, generally in the mid-50s from probably Tuesday onward. But overall, it doesn't look too bad at all. Even the threat of rain Tuesday with this front is pretty minimal.
All right, and that threat of rain is like a tenth of an inch or something, and not very much.
Yeah, and probably scattered at that. I mean, we're not going to see everybody's not going to get any get rain, and those that do, as you said, probably only get a tenth or so of rain. It doesn't look like a big threat.
Dare to want to go out to the end of next week and talk about it?
Well, we could.
Let's do.
It's actually, you're right, it's actually nice to be talking about good weather for a change, but it does look nice up until next weekend, and I think we've got a really good period here to 2 weeks of generally dry weather.
All right, thanks much.
All right, Todd.
That's Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey. Belongs to NOAA. You've been listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. Don't forget to visit willag.org for all of our ag programming. And to listen to Commodity Week, it'll be posted after 6 o'clock this evening at WILLAG.org. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a very safe harvesting weekend.